You're listening to the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor.
Hi, I'm Mandira Banerjee from the University of Michigan News Service, and today I'm talking to Aradhana Krishna, Dwight F. Benton Professor of Marketing at Ross School of Business. We are discussing the recent announcement by the Borders Group that it's going to close and liquidate itself. So what are the main reasons that led to Borders bankruptcy?
The major reason for Borders bankruptcy is that it's not been very good at forecasting trends. And even when it has made changes, it's done it very late, and it's done it with a whimper. So two examples of late changes are pretty well known. So these are of online sales and the e-reader. In terms of online sales, Borders had Amazon managing its online sales from, I think it was 2001 to 2008. Now, this is kind of odd because Amazon is a competitor, and Borders should have seen the future in a way that online sales would become big for books. So 2008 is when it started managing its own site, and by that time, Amazon was very big, and Barnes & Noble was also a big player there. In terms of the e-book, the Kindle was already introduced, the Nook was already introduced, and then Borders decided to introduce its own e-reader. It's the Kobo. And when it was introduced, I think they tried to play on price, and they came in at a much lower price than the Kindle, but it was without Wi-Fi and without 3G. So the Kobo didn't do very well. Some other things which I have come across are, for example, the connection between the online sales and the offline sales. So for a long period of time, when you went into a Borders bookstore and a particular book was not available, even though they had online sales, the customer did not have the ability to go in and say, okay, you don't have this book here. Can you check for me if it is online and can you order it for me? And that is the complementarity between online and offline sales, which they should have really been making use of, but they weren't doing that. The last thing that I can think of is a not very well-managed frequency program, in the sense that the customer was generally not aware of, you know, what was accrued to him. It was a very complicated program, which was not very well understood by customers, and I think even by the employees within the store.
Borders has been trying to find a buyer for a year. Why was Borders not able to find a buyer?
You can, you know, think of companies having two kinds of equity. So think of equity as being made up of tangible equity, which can be your assets, so which is the stores, the books on the shelf. And then you can have intangible equity, which can be in terms of the brand equity. So how much do the consumers value the brand? How much do publishers value dealing with Borders? And how much do employees want to work in Borders? So if you look at both the tangible equity and the brand equity, I think now it's so eroded that it's very difficult to find a buyer. So if you think of brand equity, people already think of Borders as a sort of has-been store. It was good in the time when people wanted a neighborhood bookstore. But in the situation where Borders is this a chain store with lots and lots of branches and with very large superstores, the image was sort of inconsistent. So at this point, there is very little brand equity left in terms of what customers want. Publishers have not been happy from what I hear, that because they've been getting late payments. And in fact, many publishers have not been sending books to Borders, so their stocks are a bit depleted. And I don't think it's the kind of place where employees would run to join just now.
Does this mean that bookstores are on their way out?
Are you talking about physical bookstores?
Yes.
You know, that's an interesting question. And I find it especially interesting since I work a lot in the area of sensory marketing. Let me first define sensory marketing. So it's about the sensory triggers that unconsciously make you buy. So what is it about the smell of a product or the feel of a product or how it looks that makes you want to pick it up and consume it? So I feel that this is especially important for books, for physical books. And I think that physical bookstores have not emphasized it. So they have this advantage of the sensory interaction, which the online bookstores don't have, but they are doing nothing about it. Now, compare it to e-readers, which keep emphasizing the fact that it feels like you're turning a page, which means that consumers really do want to feel like they're turning a page. So I feel, for example, Barnes & Noble could do much better in trying to use its physical stores to evoke better sales for the physical stores themselves and also to push sales in the online world. So this is something which Amazon doesn't have, and I think Barnes & Noble could do a much better job at it.
We have been talking with Aradhana Krishna, professor of marketing at Ross School of Business. She's a leader in sensory marketing, and her research also includes pricing and socially relevant marketing.
This has been a production of the University of Michigan News Service. Visit us on the web at www.umich.edu/news.